What's up, everybody? It's 2022. Want to say God bless everyone. I hope everyone's safe. I hope everyone's doing what they need to do to stay safe. And, of course, be wise in everything we do out here. Anyway, this is going to be a critical podcast. And, again, you know what this is. It's the Truth Pandemic Podcast. I'm CC Dove. Today I got a really cool guest. It's a dude I've known for a very, very long time, and that's because it's my brother. Anyway, want to welcome Tony to the podcast. How you doing, Tone?
What's up, my man?
All right, so I'm going to do a quick intro to this, and then we're going to get down to business, because I was going to come into the new year and just kind of bring a couple. I've got tons of topics, but there's something that really came at me about 5 days ago when I was talking to my brother. And he sent me a link. Now, anybody that knows me knows I really don't care about links and I don't care about the internet and all that with certain, you know, with respect to certain information or certain topics. But this particular link was to a video, and the video showed a person using a racist term. And so I rewound it and I was like, let me make sure I heard what I just heard. Then I checked it again. Then I watched the lips, because, you know, you got fools out there that like to manipulate videos and pictures and all that. But anyway, I kind of just looked at it and said, OK, that's that. And I pressed stop. Now, why is this important? Well, here's the deal. I'm going to take you back a little bit, like I've done in some of my previous podcasts. But this is going to be specifically related to music and the impact that music has had on my life, and then of course how I've evolved as a human being, and then, you know, delved into my own life and what I believe or what I know is right or wrong. Okay, but here's the deal. So back when I was about 12 years old, my brother and I, we used to really, you know, we'd watch MTV. We were into like all kinds of music. You know, you couldn't help it back then, all kinds. So all you got to do is really research like 70s and 80s music, and I guarantee you we listened to it, okay? But here's the deal. There were a couple standouts, and I'm talking about you had Van Halen, Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, AC/DC. I could go on and on and on and on. You had a lot of groups to choose from, and all of them had tight stuff. But out of nowhere comes this band. And I'll never forget the day my brother was like, hey, Lamont, you need to look at this. And it was a magazine with a picture of Motley Crue. And it was crazy. You know, back then they were really, you know, when they're open, their first album, you know, had a little shock value because they had to, you know, get out there, market themselves. So they kind of were a cross between Kiss and, like, I don't know, some demons from some pit somewhere. But the bottom line is, it was intriguing, and it was kind of cool. But then came their album. The first album that I ever got to hear was Shout at the Devil. And that did it. Like, for me and my brother, and for like millions of other people too. It is probably one of the best rock albums, you know, or at least it's in the top 20. Now, here's the problem. Let me rephrase that. So here's what goes down. So this was 1983, and I followed this band, and I will say this, even though, you know, this is about God and I am a Christian, but I will say this, I followed that band religiously. And I mean, any picture, any interview, anytime they might appear on TV, anytime you would hear about them, you just perked up and gave them your full attention. You bought albums, you bought anything you could buy so that you could be connected to this band. And so album, year after year, album after album, you know, you got Shout at the Devil, you got, you know, Theater of Pain, you got Girls, 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 Dr. Feelgood, you got Decade of Decadence, you know, on. I can name them all. And I can tell you every song on every side of every tape if I needed to. So here's the deal. I'm 51 now. So we're talking almost 40 years ago. I've been following them. Out of nowhere, going back to this video, one of my favorite guitarists who I've defended and always said that's the dude, because Prince is my dude, but this dude was my number two dude guitarist, Mick Mars. He's the one in the video, and here's what he says. And you can look this up, but he said, someone hands him something, and he comes at the camera and says, oh, this looks like some nigger art. So I'm going to say it again. He said, this looks like some nigger art. And I literally was like, hold up. And it sparked me on this whole emotional, pissed off kind of journey for the last 5 days. And what I mean by that is this. You know, imagine out of nowhere, you know, your wife says, hey, I want a divorce after 30 years or 40 years. Or imagine, you know, you think you're doing the right thing for a long time, 40 years of your life. And then out of nowhere, someone says, ha, we tricked you and we've been using you the whole time or something to that effect. So anyway, we're going to have a little discussion on that. But we're not going to focus so much on that. We're going to move to the overall topic and then go from there. But I want to get my brother's input on that because he's the one who sent me the video. So, hey, Tone, you know, you're up, man. What did you think about it?
Well, what I basically thought about it was just, man, it just is kind of heartbreaking because, like you said, man, we were humongous fans of Motley Crue. I mean, like, you know, I've always told you this story. I remember coming home from Raymond Hall and mom gave me some money to buy you a birthday present. And I was like, the first thing I thought of was this album. And I was like, dude, but now mom just going to have to owe him. But I bought two of them, one for me and one for you, so we didn't have to share them. You know how we used to go through whatever. And I was like, man, no, I ain't going through that with this. And you know what I'm saying? So you had one. You could jam when you wanted to, and I could have one and jam when I wanted to. And, you know, we just were huge fans. We followed their whole career, or at least I did, because I remember seeing them back with the Too Fast for Love album and just, you know, was drawn to them then. But then when Shout at the Dead, I didn't even know they were the same band. But when I seen them, I was like, whoa, I got to get this. I ain't even heard the songs yet. But anyway, so... You know how it is, one, because I played guitar a little bit, and, you know, I've followed, you know, Mick Mars, and me and you've had discussions and arguments about who's this and why they're this, and then there'd be times when I'd go, nah, man, Mick Mars ain't really that, and then I'd start messing around with the guitar, man, and go, dude, this dude's got some riffs, man. You know, just bottom line, we followed him so long, man, that it just kind of broke my heart, man, to hear that, because... You know, as a band, I kind of gave him a pass back in when we seen him at the Sundome. And I remember seeing me and you were there, and I seen Nikki Sixx with the swastika on his, he had a prison outfit, you know, kind of trying to, you know how they are about trying to be characters and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, so he's trying to be a prison character with the swastika. And, you know, I can dig it. So I kind of was like, all right, man, I'm going to chill on that. And then I guess somehow they figured it out and quit putting that on their thing, which is cool. But then when I heard that, I was like, man, these guys be on some other stuff, man. And it just changed how I felt about them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think, Tony, real quick, just to cut in, is people need to know something real quick. It might be obvious, but we're black. We're half white and half black. But the bottom line is that doesn't even matter. We're black. Like, if you look at us, we're not like, you know, black, you know, whatever. Not that that's an issue, but, you know, we're not Caucasian or Scottish or Irish and whatever. When we walk into these arenas, man, we grew up. Our first concert was Kiss back in 1979. Right. Then my second concert was AC/DC and Quiet Riot and Fast Way at the Tacoma Dome. My brother, you know, and I, we've been to lots of concerts. And so what I would like everybody to understand here, why this is important, is that's how dedicated we were to this stuff. That not only did we put the money, the time, and all the emotion, all the stuff, the fanfare and everything that goes into, you know, someone you might like as a musician or a band, but when I look back, man, I put myself at risk every time I went to one of these concerts.
Right.
So anyway, Tony, jump on that for a minute. You know, just that whole that we're talking about the investment that we've had in this, so that we can then get
all
to.
Right. Well, I mean, we were one of them. You know, we were one of them fan type people that lived album to album. Like literally, when we heard the album was coming out, we got it, or you know, couldn't wait for it. And you know, I like Motley Crue just because they were straight. Just, you know, when I seen they just were mayhem, and you know, back in them days, that's basically what I was into. And so I just loved that whole persona and stuff, you know. And I just kind of faded out with Theater of Pain because, you know, I was like, you know, like, hold on, where's it going, you know what I'm saying, with the pink whatever and all that. But anyway, you know, but I mean, that was what we did back then, was just album to album. And they were just one of our bands, and it's, you know, for whatever reason, they got, man, to be calling folks niggers and all that, you know.
Yeah, but in fairness, and I hear you, Tom, I don't mean to cut you off, but we got to be in fairness, you know, in case this gets out there. I'm not saying the whole band, and my brother's not saying the whole band is racist. That's not what we're saying. Well, we're trying to, and excuse my brother's cuss word there, but when you're talking about this stuff, and especially in the way we are, we're reflecting on a time frame, and sometimes those little cuss words kind of come out. But don't take it as that's how we roll, because that's not how we roll. We're really impacted by this, and we're not even done talking about it. I just think it's important for everyone to know right now, we heard a racist term come from one of our heroes, is the bottom line. And when that happens and you've followed this person or a specific group for 40 all your life, basically before you even hit puberty, you know, it hits you in a way that makes you reflect. And I don't want to turn away and say, man, I can't stand this band anymore. That's not what I'm doing. I'm looking at it and saying, what the heck is going on, and what did I think I was following? I mean, what do you think, Tony?
I don't know. I just think that like anybody that's into that, like, you know, I don't know. I think I kind of look at racism for what it is, and, you know, because we were, like, when we were kids, like, our friends were white, you know what I'm saying? That's how I even got into rock and roll, was because some of my best friends' older brothers were all into it, and, you know, and I looked up to them, you know what I mean? And so, I don't know, man. It just makes you think of, am I in the wrong place? You know what I mean?
Right. And now we're going to move forward. So, because I want to, we're going to stay connected to the topic, but I'm going to share some other stuff. So there's a guitarist from a band named Wasp. Okay. And I don't even need to name his name. Look it up on the internet. Here's the bottom line. This is interesting, and I'll tell you why in a minute. He says that they're interviewing this dude, and he says, yeah, the N-word music, the nigger music, is taken over. He said that that a kid had pulled up at the store or something like that and was bumping some rap music. And he actually turned to the kid and said, hey man, why are you listening to that? And this kid was white. And the kid said, you know, I like it. It's the new thing or whatever. And he then asked the kid, he said, why don't you listen to some like Deep Purple or some rock? Basically ask him, why don't you listen to rock music? And, you know, for whatever reason. But here's what's funny about that. This person who probably at one point in his career represented what, Tony? Freedom and, you know, rebellion right? Is so worried that a white kid might like some other than rock, that he then becomes so jealous about it that he then wants to use a racist term because of kid's choice. Now, here's what's funny. Because I heard what you said. Remember, you a few minutes ago, you said that a lot of your friends, brothers were white. A lot of our friends were white, right?
Right.
But we also had a lot of black friends, didn't we, Tony?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the point. I'm going to ask you a question. So do you think that your white friends, like, conjured a way to get you to like rock music?
Right, nah.
Or did you just hear it and was like, dang, this is dope?
Right. Well, here's what it is like to me is like way back when it came back to music, yeah, part of it was like, this is dope, but I ain't gonna lie, man, I got sucked into it by Kiss. To me, they were comic book heroes with guitars, and I just thought that was the coolest looking thing I'd ever seen, you know what I'm saying? And musically, I don't even see them as all that great anymore, you know what I mean, musically. But as far as the showmanship, I was like, dude, this, I'm all in, all the way in. And then, you know, through that, you're hanging out with people, you know, I started hearing, you know, people, Pink Floyd, Foghat, on and on. I could go on and on. And then, you know, Van Halen, AC/DC, Zeppelin. Zeppelin, you know, I'm a huge fan of theirs to this day. And so I just, it wasn't an issue. It just, to me, it wasn't that big a deal.
Right.
Until and to them, it wasn't. That's what we were doing. That's what they listened to. I'm hanging out with them, and so that's what we're listening to.
Right. Now, let me throw this in, and I appreciate you saying that, but now check this out. So I want to stick on this topic. But isn't it funny how all the non-black guitarists, and we can name them, dudes, I want to tell everybody out there, we know our music, okay?
Right.
Trust me on that. Bro, we know our music. I know every genre of music. To, you know, there's some, I may not have all the stuff, but I'll tell you right now, man, I keep tracking. And I would be more than happy to sit down with anybody and have a rock discussion all day long. But here's the deal. Isn't it funny how all the non-black guitarists all looked up to Jimi Hendrix, who was a black guitarist?
Right.
But yet at the
not
same
only that, not only was he a black guitarist, but a trailblazing, stood on his own guitarist. I mean, he just did his thing, and because that's what he did, and people were completely enthralled by the dude. Like
right.
All of the hero, like the heroes of that day, some of them considered quitting because they didn't think they could stood a chance against him, but then they found out he's just cool. He's like, hey, man,
exactly.
I'm not really tripping. I'm not trying to outdo you. This is just what I'm doing.
But and then back to the point. So I have literally heard Mick Mars and that guitarist from Wasp that I mentioned earlier say that their influence was Jimi Hendrix. So here's why it's a problem for me. Because it's that whole ideology about, oh, well, we heard this when we were kids, right, Tony? Ready for this one? Oh, well, you're not a nigger.
Right.
Yeah, see if we do something someone likes, then we're not a nigger.
Right.
But if we want to bump a cut over here, like some Michael Jackson, some Rick James, some Commodores,
right.
some OJs, you know what I'm saying? Some Earth, Wind, and Fire,
right.
Then moving into the 80s, some Run DMC, some Houdini, you know, so on and on and on. Then now we like soul music.
Right.
Right.
And what's funny, you know what's funny about that, even till we're going to just jump on the music, you know, that type of musical trip, is that there's black guitarists out there that are phenomenal. Like I've told you, like Tony McAlpine, Greg Howe, these are phenomenal musicians, bro, and they're black. And it's like, you know, I don't know how they feel about whatever, but you would imagine that some of their inspiration came from these white phenomenal guitarist, you know what I'm saying? Because if you were to hear like Tony McAlpine, he in my opinion, he's Yngwie up. You know what I'm saying? Greg Howe, they eat him alive. In my opinion, you know.
And you're a Yngwie fan.
Yeah, and I'm a huge Yngwie fan, but he's kind of stuck on one genre, I think, you know, and it's the neoclassical type thing, and which is cool. It's really cool. In fact, he's just bomb at it. He's completely out there on it, but. There's other guitarists that kind of mix the neoclassical thing with fusion jazz and hard rock even, and it's just you couldn't even really, in my opinion, stand and hold a conversation with them people without some sort of musical degree.
Right, or at least have some theory or something behind you. And now
right,
look, let me throw this, because we're going to get back to topic here. So here's the bottom line, people, is this. Why does everything have to be about who's white and who's black? And then here's what sucks. When I heard this hero of mine, honest to God, people, my brother bought me a bomb. I'm talking about a cool art piece of art last year. And it's an artwork piece of Mick Mars playing his guitar with his kind of trademark later in their career top hat on. And dude, I got it, and I framed it, and I put it next to my Prince poster in my living room. When I heard this, I took it down. And this is why it sucks. Because you would think that no matter where a person comes from, once you're in a band like Motley Crue or any big band and you've traveled the globe, you've toured in not just America, but you've been to countries where the entire 99.9% of the crowd is one race. You know, right, right. Japan, Brazil, Mexico, right. Around the globe, and you're making money off of this. And am I supposed to believe in my heart that you don't develop a sense of humankind and human to where no matter what you've done in or hurt in your young life, you then come to see, wow, everyone is really the same, and we can use music to bring it all together. That's what I thought.
You know what's interesting about that, man, it's always interesting to me just because it never changes, but it's a trip, man, that when you look at like all these different cultures around the world, no matter where you're at and what you're going through, really the issues that you have, man, are against people that have power over you. And I always find it fascinating. It still fascinates me, man, is that for some reason, white people think that we, like, as black people, we have some sort of power over them. Like, we're doing something to them. You know what I mean? In order for them to conjure up these faint prejudices they have against us. And it trips me out. I don't care if you're a musician, politician, whatever you are. It's just completely messed up because, it's just completely messed up. And, like, anyway, I don't know. I just
No, I hear you. There. Let me jump on that. But listen. Everybody, this is not about two black people right now talking about white people. Matter of fact,
right.
I don't even like to use the word black and white anymore, because the more I grow and learn in my wisdom in God, I'm learning that labels are what keep us separated. But here's the bottom line.
Well, here, let me jump in on that. Let me jump in on that. Because you were talking about the dude talking about, you know, the white kid that liked rap. Nobody in the game that I know of in the game from the underground that, you know, because music is really what kind of even makes us seek each other out, kind of. That's usually the common ground we find.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's just interesting, man, that we don't trip on white dudes for liking our music. We don't go, hey, man, what are you bumping that for? You know what I'm saying? That's not what we do, man. And I just always am tripping off, like, okay, so why are you tripping on, like for us? Trust me, I've had plenty. I remember getting jumped, bro. I put this on everything on Hilltop. We were young too. Little white friend of mine, and I walked through the hood with a Van Halen album, and I literally got jumped, dude.
You walked through with what? A Van Halen what?
Van Halen album, Van Halen 1.
Were you? So you were just carrying it.
I was just carrying it. I was on my way from his house. We were, you know, over there off 6th Ave, you know, by the Taco Bell, you know, because that's where we were staying at. And we were going to my aunt's house to just chill and stay the night. And we went to the hood, and they caught us and they jumped us, man. But I don't know, man. But
that's just an example of what we're talking about. So let's stay on point here is this. And I want to be clear. Look. Let me tell you, let me say this.
What?
I love all music, okay? And here's the deal. These dudes have been inspirations. Not just Motley Crue. I'm talking about dude Eddie Van Halen, bro. I'm talking about people that, and I never saw them as white. I saw them as, that's Eddie Van Halen. That's Prince. That's Phil Collins. Right. That's whoever. And I think what sucks here is that what hurts me is that I have had to battle my own ideas of race in my life because I, like you just said, you've been jumped. Tony, so have I. Not just by white people or whoever, but I've been jumped by my own color people. I've been jumped by all kinds of people. And here's the deal. It's all based on some idea of hate that conjures up in people, and just for some reason they look at you and hate. And I think it's relative to the issues now, even with the whole transgender thing and all that. I don't necessarily believe in any of it, but I'll tell you this: I'm not going to go up to someone and just hate them and just have a hate because they're doing something that I, you know, whatever. And I think that's why this sucks for me, because listen, I'll say this flat out. These are people who helped me get through major problems in my life. I mean, people may not think that it would help, but how does throwing on a Motley Crue album and, you know, it opens up with Wild Side and then Girls, 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 you know, Dancing on Glass. How do these things help a teenage boy? Here's how. Because they present themselves in a way that's almost, and I do not disrespect God when I say this, but on earth here, it's like a godlike presentation where you almost go, whoa, right? And you embark on this journey of understanding them. And I think what happens is if you get enough of it and you can find positivity in it, it helps you get through moments in your life. And then because of that, they become part of this thing that you create in yourself as a kid that's struggling.
You internalize
an internal family.
They're part of your they're part of your schemata, I guess you call it, in your mind. You know, this is how I'm going to cope.
Yes, and you defend them. You stand by them. Right. You read articles that say, "Oh, Vince Neil, you know, was driving drunk and killed dude from the band." You know, you automatically sympathize with Vince Neil and the dude that died. You don't even really. You're just worried what's going to happen to Vince Neil.
Right. No, that's true. Man.
You know what I'm saying?
That's how I feel. Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. And I think that. What's important here is this. I want everybody to know, dude, if I ever met Mick Mars, I've always wanted to meet Mick Mars. We were fortunate enough, my brother and I, he had mentioned earlier that we went to the Sundome in Yakima. We drove from where we're from, you know, we're from T-Town, Tacoma, and we drove from here to Yakima to see them. And it was the coolest thing ever because when we got there, you know, we walked up to the door. It seemed kind of weird. There was hardly anybody there. And then we walk in, nobody is up at the front. We walked straight down to the front. We couldn't have got any closer. We would have been on the stage, put it that way.
Literally, yeah.
And we shook hands with Tommy Lee. I know I remember dabbing up Vince Neil. I remember dabbing up Nicky. Mick was too busy doing his thing. But I could have reached up, and my brother could have reached up and touched his guitar. That's how close we were. This is the same concert where he saw the swastika. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you want to meet these people. What kid doesn't want to meet someone that they're just invested in, right? Well, technically, we met these cats, but we didn't get to talk to them. And here's where I'm going to steer this conversation. It's not Mick Mars' fault for my feelings. It's not Motley Crue's responsibility for my feelings, and I'll tell you why. What I did is I got invested in who I thought they were and what was presented to me and their music. That's all I had.
Right.
So the interesting thing would be, what would it be like if I had this conversation right here with Mick Mars? Does it take conversations in order for people to see new ways and new ways of thinking? Yes, it does. And I think that no matter how we look at this, Mick Mars will always be the dope guitarist that I know he is. That's never going to change. But what we want in our mind is for them to not only be the dope guitarist, but for somehow that they share our ideology. And that's the struggle here. So I don't want to call this thing racist. What I want to call it is that even our heroes, even the people we follow, still have things to learn.
Well, not only that, man, like you said, this is it really, and maybe they have things to learn. Maybe they don't give a fuck, or excuse my language, man, they don't care about learning. You know, maybe it really comes down to, you know, how we put them on a pedestal that maybe they don't deserve. You know what I'm saying? is kind of what I see, man.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Now, can I clarify that? Because that's important. Yeah. My brother said we put them on a pedestal that they may not deserve. Here's the problem with that, not the statement, but with that, that they want to be on a pedestal. Their marketing teams want to put them on a pedestal, right? The pedestal my brother's talking about is the pedestal that we create that connects them to who we are.
Right, who we want them to be.
And who we want them to be. And it's impossible for that because you have millions of fans. We're not the only ones.
Right,
but
right.
You have millions of fans with so many different points of view, and that brings me to this. You know why the whole thing doesn't matter, Tony?
Why?
Here's why. That even whether a person is racist, whether they view us or view them or view him or her a certain way, the problem comes when we're disposable. See, when a band first starts, then we count. Because every vote counts.
Right, right, right.
But when they hit the million mark, then that's why it don't matter if, 10,000 people don't like their next album, because they're still going to sell gold.
Right.
And that's the problem with this world, people, in my opinion, is that we almost gauge everything based on what we want. We have to start thinking and always remember to think of the collective and how these things can affect people in like serious ways. And I'm a tough dude. I am. I've been raised that way. My brother is too, man. You can throw some daggers, man, and hit me in my back, bro. And all you're going to get is a little blood, or you might get one of them back at you. But the problem is even we have these feelings, man, and it's like it's crushing. So I want to leave this topic by saying this, that I'm going to let my brother close out with a quote or something. But it's this. Hey, man, I got love for everybody, man. And I got love for music. And I love positive music. I don't mean that like, oh, positive. I mean, the message that people send is powerful. And the words, okay, and the persona and the things you project in your pictures, your photos, your interviews. Don't be fake, man. Keep it real, man. That's what you told me to do when I was a kid. Keep it real. And remember, you got fans from all walks of life, man. And if you want fans and if you want that broad spectrum so that you can say you reached people and did something in your career, then remember, we're not all one color.
Tony, that's true, man. I mean, because even if you, like, you got feelings about certain people and stuff, And I'm careful about that, too, just because, like I said, man, I've been raised around a lot of different people, man, in a lot of different circumstances, not all of them good, but the fact is, man, is I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, you know what I'm saying, and and that's partially just because of how we was raised, you know what I'm saying, and I'm not going to, like me, I will never hate a person because he's white, ever. But if he happens to be white and he's on something else, you know what I'm saying, then that's going to change things. But just because I just don't feel that's and that's a very internal thing with me, meaning I believe in God, and I literally do believe that he put us here for his own self, and it's completely arrogant to think that one of us is better than the other, knowing we had nothing to do with our race or anything. We had nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep,
and
I
so
like
for
that.
Me, for me to look at another man and go, okay, well, because you're this now, I got to hate. This seems so sci-fi to me. You know what I mean? To me, it does. It just seems sci-fi. Like, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, listen, man, Tony, I appreciate you coming on. And listen, everybody, I just want to thank you for tuning in. But take this information. Just remember, you know what this comes down to? And remember, this is the Truth Pandemic podcast. And I want to remind you, this wasn't directly related to the Word of God, but here's how it is. Is this. The Bible says to love one another. The Bible says to do unto others as you would have done unto you. It says treat your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't specify Jewish, African, German, none of that. We're supposed to be doing things on a level to where we can create love in the world and unity. So remember that, everybody. God bless you and Happy New Year. We're going to check you on the next episode.